I have Mark Greenside with me. Mark is an author and has a new book out, and he's going to tell us about his old book and his new book, and we'll hear what's going on with him. Hi, Mark.
Hello. How you doing, Jack?
Doing great.
Nice to talk to you.
Fun to talk to you, too, across these miles. Mark and I have known each other for quite a while, but mostly through meeting online. But last summer, we finally got a chance to meet together for the first time and sat out on the pier in San Francisco and had lunch, and it was a great time. So,
Yes, it was.
So, Mark, you published both fiction and nonfiction, right?
Yes.
Well, what was some fiction that you've published?
I've published a number of short stories. I don't know the number, but maybe two dozen. I have a collection of short stories called I Saw a Man Hit His Wife that came out probably 20 years ago.
Wow. I remember reading that book. That has not aged a bit.
Good. I'm glad because I have.
Yeah, I think you could probably republish that with Me Too on the cover and sell some books.
right.
Now, I periodically rent your beautiful maison in rural France, and I know that you began writing a book about this after you bought it and started spending some time there, called I'll Never Be French No Matter What I Do, which was a really interesting, enlightening, and entertaining book, which ultimately led to my wanting to rent your place and stay over there to do my writing. And so now you've got a sequel to it called Not Quite Mastering the Art of French Living. It's been about 10 years since you published the first one.
Yeah, once a decade.
Yeah, why not? One book a decade, yeah, that's plenty.
That's it.
What did you want to write about the second time around that you didn't get said in the first book?
Well, I actually didn't realize what I didn't get what I didn't say in the first book until a friend told me. The first book is very much like most American and France books. It's about buying a house and fixing it up, or other typical kinds of themes are. Taking a journey by boat or train or bicycle or trekking or opening a business or falling in love or going as a retreat. And those are the major themes that Americans writing about going to France usually do. And my first book is very much in that mode. When a friend of mine read the first book when it first came out, he said, I really liked it. It's a really good book. But you don't say anything in here about day-to-day life. And I realized, he was right. I actually hadn't realized while I was writing that. But as soon as he said it, I realized he was right. And the more I read, the more I realized really nobody has written about day-to-day life. They either write about the rules, like this is what you have to do, and it's a series of bullet points, or they ignore it completely. So, for instance, this book has a chapter on driving, a chapter on shopping, one on banking, one on cooking, one on eating, because food is so important in France.
Yeah,
and you cannot cook for French people the way you cook for American people. So it's all about my encounters with trying to learn the ropes. The first book was about being there, just getting there and being there and buying the house on a spur of the moment. And most of the book is around the house. The second book is, okay, I've been here 20 years. What have I learned? How well have I figured out how things work? And you can tell from the title, it's been a fair to middling success. and it's led to a lot of funny stories and situations, mm-hmm. and that's what the second book is about. It's about day-to-day life from the perspective of a generally non-fluent foreigner,
yes.
trying to figure out how things work in France and how I can navigate this different culture.
One of the craziest things I remember reading in your first book was that it was easier to get a loan, or I should say a mortgage, I guess, for a house than it was to open a checking account at a French bank.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Is that still
absolutely
true?
Well, money is getting harder to get, but you can't open, for instance, getting a telephone or getting electricity. You can't do that without some form of documentation. You need the first documentation, and it's almost impossible to get the first documentation. So that's the really hard part about it. In terms of getting a mortgage, I don't know anymore what they require for identification. I know when they offered me mine, they didn't even know if I had a job. I mean, they didn't even know if I was compos mentis. They knew nothing, and they were offering me a mortgage.
Because your next door neighbor spoke for you.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's really different.
She knew the bank president. Yes.
Yeah. You know, I would call your first book, and I've just barely cracked the cover of the second, but I would call these books what we identify at the Fictional Cafe as creative nonfiction. It's nonfiction in the sense that it's based on true events and happenings, but you do disguise and mask certain things to protect the innocent and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You don't really tell exactly where you are in France and that sort of thing. So.
Right.
Is that to keep it sort of generic for the audience so they don't think, oh, I have to go to this particular village to have this experience in France?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I was aware of was Peter Mayle in A Year in Provence and all the problems he had when he wrote the book, when all these people started coming by. His neighbors didn't like it. He didn't like it. They didn't want to be discovered.
Uh-huh.
And actually, it turned out he didn't want to be either. it's not like I have that many people looking for me, but it was more to protect my neighbors and the village than myself.
Sure, I can certainly understand that.
Yeah.
So, what's your next book, Mark?
The next one is back to fiction. It's a novella. It's a dystopian, picaresque. Dystopian picaresque. It actually works very nicely with today's world. It's about all the major institutions failing, and how do you survive when family doesn't do its job, school doesn't do its job, church doesn't do its job, the press doesn't do its job. Government doesn't do its job. Nothing works the way it's supposed to. It all, for many, many reasons, it all fails to do what it's essentially expected to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the story is about these two very, very strange guys who wind up living together in New York at the end of the 1970s. And if anybody knows about or remembers the end of the 70s in New York, it was a very bleak period. It was right after Nixon refused the government loan, and New York was at one point on the verge of bankruptcy. The place was filled with graffiti, filled with gangs. Nothing really worked at all. It was filthy and decomposing.
Mm.
So these two guys, very strange guys, wind up living together in a dilapidated rent control place, and they're trying to figure out how do you survive. None of it is as conscious as I'm giving it to you now. None of it is as calibrated as I'm giving it to you now. But they're trying to figure out how to survive in a world where nothing works the way it's supposed to work and everything appears to be falling apart. And they do, but it's a very bizarre and I think hilarious story.
Sounds great. What's the title?
The Night at the End of the Tunnel or Isaiah, Can You See?
The Night at the End of the Tunnel or Isaiah, Can You See?
Yes.
That's kind of a play on words there. Oh, say, can you see? Right?
Yes, exactly. There's a strong prophetic spiritual bent to it. It's an old world prophets, you know, yeah. Vengeance guys.
Okay. Sounds great. When will that be out?
That'll come out in October.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And all your books are on Amazon, so people can find them easily. Mark Greenside.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so the big question, Mark.
In Polish and French, yes.
Do you live in France?
3 months a year.
Uh-huh. Okay. How do you compare life in France versus life in the USA?
Well, it's a very bifurcated life for me, but by design. My American life is an urban life. I spend a lot of time in San Francisco, Oakland. I visit New York frequently. I go to theater. I go to the movies. You know, I do all that stuff. It's also a life in which I feel relatively competent. You know, I know how to get things done if I need them done. You know, I can pick up the phone and figure out who to call. So I can function and maneuver and manipulate this environment to the extent that I can, for the most part, get satisfying results and feel some level of competency and success in the world. In France, it's all the reverse. It's very small town living. The town I live in is 500 people. It's next to a village of 6,000 people. It's a small town, rural life. There are sheep that graze behind my house. A quarter of a mile away is all open fields for corn and hay and sheep and cows. It's a rural life because I'm not really very fluent in French. I don't go to the theater. I don't often go to the movies. It's a much more constricted life in that way, and certainly in the sense of the performing arts, and also just forgot what I was going to say. The level of competency that I feel here doesn't exist there at all.
Uh-huh.
For anything significant, I've got to call friends for help. And it's very difficult for a sort of a type A, relatively successful adult American male to ask people for help pretty frequently on things that you would never ask for help on in this country.
There you go. And I definitely understand what you're talking about. Mark, it's been...
It's learning to live with a deep sense of ineptness.
Yeah. but still fun.
Yeah.
And it has
good stories.
Great rewards, that yes. simplicity that yes. they have. Hey, it's been just great talking with you. Thank you so much for your time today. I know you're really crazy busy right now. But I wanted to do this interview with you and let people know that you've got some very, very interesting books that they ought to check out. Like I said, look on Amazon, Mark Greenside. Very simple. And I thank you for your time today, my friend, and have a great trip, and we'll talk again soon.
And I thank you for the opportunity, and it's a pleasure to talk with you, Jack.
Same here.
See you again soon.
Okay. Take care. All right.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.